of you have been groaning about the time of year because it's tax time? Boy, have I been hearing the groans this past week. And you scan these balance sheets. If you're like my husband, he keeps every receipt. Now, we have receipts from like the 80s. Seriously. So you look at those balance sheets, and what do? You get depressed, because what it does is it reveals everything that you have done over the past year, right? Where you put your money, where you put your time. And you can't change any of that. You can't get that time back. You're stuck with what you did, with what you recorded, with where that money went. You just have to live with that decision and say, well, here's what I'm going to do next time. But what I want to know tonight is, have you recently scanned a balance sheet of yourself? What you did? What you've said? What you wish you could take back? What you wish you could have done over? And my next question is, who showed it to you? Did you replay this yourself? Did one of your enemies show this to you? Even worse, was it a family member or a friend? Who's forcing you to recall every sin, every crime, every blight? I'm going to read from, starting with four. Paul asks this question. Who? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship or distress or persecution or faith? Or naked, or pain, or sore. It is written for your sake all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's right. When we go back to verse 36, Psalm 40. All day long we are accounted. Who's keeping the account? Who is waving it in your face? I'll give you an example with David. His enemies did it all the time. The Philistines. He writes in Psalm chapter 56. David is talking about the Philistines seizing him. People trample on me all day long, foes. those oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. Going down to verse 5. All day long, they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they hoped to have my life. Those are some severe threats. The extent to which these guys are going to is absolutely relentless. It just doesn't end with this poor guy. Violence is an everyday occurrence with this man. Every day, continually, he's looking over his shoulder. Here's poor David, who was so loyal to King Saul for so long, and he has to worry about what that guy could do at any given moment. Come on, David, play me a song. I promise I won't kill you. Right. You know who else is good at this? Your family and friends. Boy, Michelle, that master's of science in molecular biology, biochemistry, boy, you really wasted your time on that one, didn't you? I see you're really using that. Living up in the UP, what are you going to do with that? True story. We move up here. A month after we got up here, I heard from Pfizer. They wanted me to come down to Ann Arbor for a scientist position to work on some new something. And I had to say no. And my mother calls. And she wanted to know what I was doing for a job. And I said, well, I just turned down one. Funny you should mention that. You what? Well, I turned down Pfizer. You what? Well, I'm already up here. I can't go to Ann Arbor. Michelle, it's simple. You get a divorce and you move down to Ann Arbor and you take the job. I said, Mom, it's simple. I'm married to Shane. God brought us up here, and I'm going to obey my heavenly Father and support my man. Well, you could do that. But what are you going to do with that biology degree? I don't know. He'll give me something. It's all good. He could still give me something. I'll just have to write more science surveys or something. I don't know. You know who else is good at keeping accounts? Does this sound familiar? From Luke chapter 18, verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You realize this man probably kept track of every ill deed he had ever done. His focus is so intense, he is literally beating himself up. Now, he knows that if he confesses and repents, that there's the off chance that God will hear him. But you know what we don't see in this passage? He won't forgive himself. I work with kids on Monday nights in Awana, and they get these books. This is my son's. And it's divided into sections. And we do something called handbook time. And you go to a particular section in this book, and there is a scripture that the kid is to have memorized. And sometimes there's an activity that they needed to do as well. And just see how that worked out. And just basically be there to answer questions with the kids. You know, what does the scripture really mean? How do I apply it to my life? Tell me, how would you apply it? Well, I was working with this little second grade girl, and her particular section was the books of the Old Testament. And she had 35 minutes of time, and it was one-on-one. It was just me and her. And so when she started, the first thing she did was apologize that she has been going through so much stress. And she has been trying to help her parents the best she can. And she's been trying to hold herself together. I mean, she was fighting back tears. And I said, just relax. Don't. This is not when you're going to beat yourself up. This is not where you're going to beat yourself up. I'm not going to let you beat yourself up. God doesn't want you to beat yourself up. Just relax. It's all good. She said, well, I'm going to need some help. I said, no problem. She couldn't remember the first book. And so I tried giving her hints. Nothing was happening. When I finally said Genesis, she let out this huge breath and said, okay, I think I can do this. And she went on for a few books and she got stuck. And it just went on and on like that. After 35 minutes, she managed to get two-thirds of the way through and the bell rang. And I said, it's okay, you'll nail them next time. She burst into tears. And I said, oh, honey, why are you doing this? And she cried bitterly, I am sorry, God! You must be so disappointed in me. I have broken your heart. You gave me something so simple and I failed you. I can't even look at you. I can't even talk to you. And she went on and on. I got on my knees in front of her. And I said, sweetheart, look at me. You are the only one throwing punches. Your heavenly Father loves you. You are his precious child. You are his princess. You are his workmanship. I am not going to let you beat yourself up like this. He is not disappointed in you. You are not breaking his heart. You are not going to hell over this. He loves you. She says, how do I know? I said, it's simple. I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to keep praying until he floods you with so much peace that you'll know that you know that you know. I just held her and prayed with her. And she just sobbed on my shoulder, still asking God to forgive her. second grade girl. How is it that we are raising kids to keep balance sheets like this? Are the churches doing this? Are we as parents teaching them to do this? Whatever happened to this freedom we're supposed to have in Jesus? Do we live like we're free? Or are we still pulling a chained leg? If you have a balance sheet with you right now, you know what you should do with it? Burn it. It's what Paul said to do. Go back, verse 38. For I am convinced. Convinced of what? I am convinced that I don't have to keep this balance sheet anymore. You want to know why? It's because it is Christ Jesus, raised from the dead at the right hand of God, interceding for me. And what does that make us? Not the biggest losers. Abundant gainers. Conquerors. We win because of him. Jesus went into the ring, knocked the devil out cold. I love to do that. And just in case he tries to bring any weeds, I got my Roundup too. You lose. And how is it we don't live like this? We can read this. I know you've read this passage before. You've heard it 100 times. And yet, you still hold on to this balance sheet that somebody has reminded you. You remember when you used to? Yeah, you know what? And that's covered in the blood. It's gone. Gone. Yep, that was me. But that old me, dead. The new me, raised. Forgiven. Done. And you know, I'm tired of wearing the Kevlar to protect me from self-mutilation. I'm tired of pastoring a church now, huh? I know you were talking about doing that, but you really doing it now, huh? Oh, how's that working for you? Yeah, that's cute. You are not who you or anyone else says you are. You are who he says you are. That's right. I'm not a worm, right? Abundant gainers. If you have that in your heart, that knowledge that you are an abundant gainer, do someone a favor. Share that with someone else who is still beating him or herself up. Share that with somebody who is trying to wave a balance sheet at you. We are free. We are not in the bondage of accounting. Father, you have led us. You are interceding for us. You have sanctified us. And anytime we feel that root of bitterness, empower us to trample that until it's dead, until it's gone. Set our minds on your spirit, your life, your peace, your freedom. For you tell us that we do not submit to what the enemy is trying to bring us back to. We are who you tell us we are. May we confess that. May our lives radiate that truth. Help us to move forward. We are abundant gainers. We are conquerors because of you. You did the work. You did something we could not do. You came. You dealt with the sin. You condemned it so that we can walk with your spirit. So we can set our minds on you. It's all about you. To wave to the world, not a balance sheet of our deeds, but your finished work on Calvary as a banner, as standard bearers, as conquerors. That's what you tell us we are. Father, if there was someone here that is struggling, that has seen that balance sheet so many times that they're really starting to believe it again, they're losing hope, they're discouraged, crying out to you, just as this tax collector did. Father, speak to that soul and hold that soul on your lap, in your arms, and tell that one, you're mine. I remember only who you are now, my child. You are free. If there is any way that I can pray with you and help you to hold that truth so that that balance sheet doesn't hold any power over you, I want to do that for you.